Hi, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the HTA2 Proposed Rule Task Force meeting. I'm Seth Pazinski with the HHS Assistant Secretary for Technology Policy, and I'll be serving as your designated federal officer for today's call. As a reminder, this meeting is open to the public and public feedback is welcome throughout the meeting. Comments can be made during the meeting through the Zoom chat feature, and there will also be time scheduled at towards the end of our agenda for verbal public comments as well. And I'm going to begin with a roll call. So when I call your name, if you could please indicate that you are present. I'm going to start with our co-chairs, Bryant Thomas-Karas.
Present.
Rochelle Prosser.
Good morning. Present.
Good morning. Mark Sendak.
Good morning. Present.
Good morning. Suresh Ballou. Shyla Blend. Hans Butendijk.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sooner Davenport. Derek DM.
Good morning.
Good morning. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lee Fleischer. I did get a message that Hannah Galvin will not be able to join us today. Raj Gudvarti. Jillian Haney.
Here. Good morning.
Morning. Joel Hartzell.
Present.
Stephen Hester. Aaron Holt Coyne. Jim Jurgis.
Present.
Thank you. Mary Beth Carrillo.
Good morning.
Good morning. I got a message that Hung Lu will not be able to join us today. Dominic Mack. Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chris Mork.
I am here.
Morning. Alex Muggy. Shantanu Nundi. Eliel Oliveira. Kiki Loma Ashukantan.
Morning, I'm present.
Good morning. Rhonda Perkins.
Present.
Dan Riskin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Phil Sutherland. Zanette Sumar King. Naresh Sundar Rajan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Cheryl Turney. Ray Walker.
Good morning. Good
morning. Thomas Wilkinson. And I see Raj Gavarti has joined us as well. Is there anyone, other members that I missed or who just joined that would like to indicate that they are present?
Brian and I received an email late last night that Sheila Bland will not be able to attend today.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. All right, well, I'm going to...
Aaron said she'll be joining late.
Okay, so thank you.
Watch for her to come in.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to turn it over... to our co-chairs for opening remarks and to get us into our agenda.
My main opening remarks are, wow, my co-chairs did such an amazing job yesterday. I feel incredibly nervous on how much we have to get through and whether or not the work group one will be able to follow that act. So, but looking forward to today, I hope we can have some good discussion and get to consensus on what we can get to. And if we have to table some things or assign us continued homework as a task force or as a high-tech committee, then maybe that's what we'll have to do. Rochelle? Or Mark?
I am confident in Bryant and that we will have a wonderful meeting today. Thank you for everybody's time and appreciate the collaboration.
Yes, hello. I'm offsite today and just wanted to thank everyone for their hard work. We really got through a lot of the HTI2 rule yesterday and came to consensus with some robust discussion and a few recommendations for ONC. And so today, as we move into Dr. Bryant's area for health policy, I really look forward to see how we can come together and help to codify some of these rules, as well as complete the work that his section of the team did. So thank you very much for your work. Back to you, Seth.
So I'm mute. So we are going to start by revisiting two items briefly on groups two and three, and then we'll move into the bulk of our conversation today focused on the group one draft recommendations. So I am going to turn it over or ask Sarah McGee if you can start sharing screen on the Google Doc. And I think we're going to start with group two and revisiting one of the recommendations that we had there. So I'm going to turn it over to Mark to take us through this item.
Thank you, Seth, and thank you, Sarah. So the change we want to make here is in column K. We want to clarify the language in column J, where you see the parentheses. So the parentheses HIE, TEFCA, are there any comments about making that change, or does that look good? If there's no comments, I will go ahead and make it.
So we're just adding in the other specified Commonwealth and any other network, just to make it more clear.
Yep.
Okay.
So I will copy that over. Thank you. If we want to go to the next, I think Rochelle had one to review. Is that right?
Yes, this is Seth. We want to flip over to group three. And Rochelle, if you want to take us through the revisiting the one item.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Thank you, Seth. So under the TEFCA manner request, we received notification from the higher group from HITAC to add language into our recommendations of we recommend ONC guidance on the potential of QHIN lack of adoption for FHIR after standardization occurs for QHINs that do not fully implement FHIR complete interoperability. And we thank HITAC for that, because that was one of the areas I was looking for to add and could not find that language in there. And how this is discussing is we were given three choices: whether to adopt QHIN with FHIR, whether to just have QHIN stand alone and let FHIR expire, or to adopt full FHIR, and as that was the standardization to go, or the fourth choice, to come up with something else. And so we as a group had chosen the original one to go with both, because certain API builds do not take FHIR into consideration as the higher standard. And in order to allow full interoperability of all QHINs and as the intermediary between facilities and patients for access of records, we felt it was still necessary to keep both sides. So we are okay to add this language and in the recommendation to say that we will choose line item one going forth with both. So if there is anyone else that has questions on the explanation as to why we are adopting this recommendation, I'm happy to discuss it at this time. If you want to raise your hand. Yes, go ahead.
Steve, I can really fast. Just to reemphasize and support that for public health entities, we're not necessarily in a position to jump immediately to fire across the board either. So we intend to support V2 for some time.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. Katrina?
Right. So I may not be hearing this correctly, but so what I recall was there was sort of a requirement for fire to be the standard for QHINs, or to be the requirement for QHINs plus participants and sub-participants. And what I was trying to aim for was the QHIN was the main focus to start. I know we talked about how the participants and sub-participants will feed in. And, you know, that is part of the challenge, which is why I think this has been widened out to QHIN plus participant plus sub-participants. But I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what our recommendation is. It's really to establish that standard for the QHIN and participant and sub-participant before the sort of requirement language is sort of removed. I'm not sure I'm looking at the right thing to explain that correctly.
Yes. So, and in the presentation that ONC did for us, they brought in, and I think it was Rachel who did that presentation, but there were four choices that we were to choose, as you mentioned. Have it adopted where there were both, have it adopted where a QHINs would stand alone, have it adopted where a fire would stand alone after the QHINs expired, or to come up with something else, which would allow those subcategories and subgroups to be able to find the interoperability. We had a heavy and robust discussion because if a QHIN were to expire, often they have the ability to hold patient data. And as such, we wanted to ensure that there was still going to be a path for transfer of the data that QHIN would have held should they have failed or that expired. So I think having the recommendation on guidance on the potential lack of adoption was the outcome on, instead of just choosing choice one, having both.
Okay. So again, focusing on the QHIN itself, really focusing on if they are not standardizing with fire, that's really our main focus for the recommendation as opposed to the other choices. Okay, got it. Correct. Thanks.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, Hans.
Yeah, I'm looking for a little bit more clarification as well. So if I understand correctly, our intent is to say that if a QHIN ceases to be a QHIN, what happens to the data that they may hold? Not every or number of the ones do not hold data. Other ones do, or they hold it outside. They hold it as an organization, but not as a QHIN. So for those QHINs that actually hold data, you're looking for, and we are looking for guidance on what to do there. On the other hand, so that's one part that I'm hearing. On the other part is that QHINs may not fully adopt FHIR. To me, that's where I'm challenged a little bit more, that while in the beginning, ramping up to FHIR, maybe not everybody is moving as fast as a QHIN, whatever the sub-participants and participants do. But at some point in time, because of the agreement that they're part of TEFCA, they have to support QHIN or FHIR at that point in time, unless there are some optional things in there that can do, which frequently are the participants, sub-participants. So I'm still trying to figure out is that the phrasing that is here that starts with re-recommend to complete interoperability, I'm not sure which one of the two and if both are fully captured. I'm not sure whether we captured our thought completely on we want to address QHINs that cease to be QHINs and what happens with the data and there needs to be continuity. Mm-hmm. And a non-support for FHIR, which can be there in the beginning, but less so over time, that we need to be able to continue that regardless of whether they're in the network or not. So that's the part that I'm still not clear. What are we trying to say here?
So that is why we were saying we recommend ONC guidance, because as you said, there's two issues outstanding. What we came to a consensus on as a committee was to say that we would adopt both, have the QHIN and the FHIR still continue on after the version of this rule, because of just as you're saying, it's going to take time for some smaller QHINs to adopt FHIR and some facilities to say, okay, well, we need to get with the program on this. But we don't want to say one over the other, where FHIR is a little bit slower and more challenging than the QHIN. And then also where there is both the ability and the QHIN fails, God forbid it does, but they do a lot. We want to have direction on how we can ensure the transfer of that information left over, and for the abundance of time for Bryant's program, if this language is not where you would like it to be, and I will give this to you, Ike, as soon as I'm done, we can put it as a takeaway and revisit if we have time.
I'm going to try to put
yes, Katrina, we're doing that. Go ahead, Steve.
Just for clarity's sake, I think the purpose is saying QHIN should not migrate to exclusively use FHIR, but there needs to be ongoing support for other modalities, V2 and like, for transmission. Is that a fair summary? Does that help address your concerns, Hans?
I'm good with what you just said. And okay. I think that Derek is also happy to help us craft this a little bit more clearer. So I propose this. Let's, here Hans is writing. He's lost his ability for the mic. So Hans is saying, go ahead, Hans.
Sorry, I was double muted. But I think to Ike's question, part of why I'm getting hung up, and it might just be me, is that in the conversation, FHIR and QHIN are used as relatively equivalent concepts. And that's where I get stuck, because in my mind, they are two different things. FHIR can be deployed with inside TEFCA or outside TEFCA. It's a method of interoperability. QHIN is a way of getting a group together on a defined set of use cases that may or may not be FHIR-based. So that's why I'm trying to keep them in my mind as two different things, and what are we trying to achieve with one versus what are we trying to achieve with FHIR adoption, and that might help clarify. At least it would be in my mind, and it might be for others too. So what I put in the chat is that perhaps what we're trying to say, that we have a QHIN challenge. What happens if they terminate, and we need to hold on to the data, and we need to have a transition for that. And what happens with FHIR adoption? And for TEFCA, that would mean, how do we get all the QHINs and everybody within that to adopt FHIR at a reasonable pace, completely and consistently? Is that what we're really trying to say?
Yes. So let's put a pause in this, and we can revisit this later, and to allow Bryant to continue on, and we can revisit later at the end. And if the Derek, Hans, and Ike and I, we can sit together, and Norm, to work together to refocus this one statement. Okay, thank you.
All right, let's go to the group one tab. Scroll up to the top. All right. So there are a couple of things that our hope is to change things to green. We'll start a timer on each of these, so that we keep our pace and hopefully can get through everything. If we can't get to consensus and turn things green, then we can potentially push them again, or stay silent on or on different criteria. All right, overall, I think that this is something that we heard discussed a little bit in the other groups as well. Naming conventions between different actors, especially in bi-directional transmissions or certification criteria, can become really problematic. And we ran into this in a lot of different activities. So we're hoping that there can be consistency throughout the document, making sure that people know who the sender and the receiver are, and not commingle things with, you know, healthcare provider, you know, commingled with laboratory or EHR or ordering physician, gets quite messy. I know the notice of the proposed rulemaking in the Federal Registry can't have diagrams, but perhaps we can make sure that things are made clear and consistent in supportive documents. Any objections to turning the red text here, which is doesn't really go into the final rule, but it's just guidance for staff to try to add consistency throughout? I'll wait 3 seconds, and if no objection, let's turn it green. And if Hans's mic isn't working, that could be really beneficial in us getting through this efficiently.
Are you concerned?
I was joking. So no objections. Thank you. Mary Beth, do you want to lead us through this next one?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Brian. Thank you. So the first one was already green. So this is really just focusing the F1 criteria on the 2018 update to the 251 implementation guide. As the guide under development is still in the works and likely won't be published until late 2025, early 2026. So I'm assuming we're good with that. Okay, hearing no objections, I'll keep moving.
Okay.
And then the next one is really around the terminology you were just referencing, the bidirectional term and the actors. So if you look down to the fourth line, the 827, this was our group's effort to revise the language. So that 827 MBK's revised version for review. We recommend the term bidirectional be replaced and that the actors in each use case, e.g. EHRs and immunization information systems, be better identified in each individual requirement. And I'll let folks read through the rest of that. And we also just asked, I think, that this section be renamed to immunization information system submission and or query to address the dynamic nature of the data flow, but get rid of the term bidirectional, which I think was problematic.
When it's really two different things that we're talking about.
Right.
Not bi-directional. Yeah.
Exactly.
So can and who's driving today? Is it Maggie?
It's Sarah. Hi.
Sarah, can you turn from about line 4 of that paragraph? We recommend your arrow is just over it.
Oh, I need to do it.
You have to do it. Okay, yeah. So from the second we recommend to the word systems, if you could turn that green. And then we'll wait when people see that. Oh. All right. Any people giving that a review? Any objections?
I was looking above for the one above, where you're removing the bidirectional to put it as add the item. I think in the spirit of what the policy was looking at is to make sure that the transfer of that information can go both ways, either from the patient to add and upload information, as well as the actual provider or exchange to push it down to the patient. And if that, if I'm seeing it incorrectly, please let me know.
So yeah, the patients aren't allowed to add information to the registry, only providers. Hmm.
So then a provider can add it and it gets facilitated to wherever it's going. And to wherever it's going, it can be reciprocated or
it can be shared. Yeah.
It can be shared, but not edited.
So that's right. So that's the bi-directionality part was misleading. That there's actually two different transactions. There's a transaction for submission, and then there's a separate transaction for query and response.
Okay. All right. In that case, then I would agree.
And Mary Beth.
Yeah.
Assessment for Rochelle's, because patients can't just upload or enter in vaccines that they've gotten elsewhere. They have to do that through a provider.
I think that's true of immunization information systems, but also since this one's focused on F1, also true of EHRs, that they need to tell their provider and their provider would enter it. Yep.
Hans, you had a question?
Yeah, a question that I have is that I'm trying to figure out which one of the paragraphs are we really looking at, because there are a couple of parallel ones and I got
we're going to keep marching through. So okay. Right now we're just looking at the second paragraph, the second half of it that was just turned green. It's repeating itself. There's a version one and then version two for review.
Yeah, and then there's a version three below that. That's confused.
But I think that's a separate topic. So yeah. I tried to group them by paragraphs. So that next one, that next paragraph that right now is still black, red, and blue, is a topic to discuss. Yep.
Okay, so in the green section, you still have bidirectional exchange before immunization registries, second line, and with immunization information systems. So if you are proposing to replace the term bidirectional, would it not be removed here as well?
It would. So we're recommending removing bidirectional altogether. So
they had to reference the title bidirectional to say that we don't like that title and we want it changed.
Right. So we propose replacing the title of immunization registries bidirectional exchange with immunization system submission and or query.
For ONC, is that going to be a difficulty in actually changing the rule? My understanding is when the rule is written, it's written in. And so changing the title might be problematic. Could we have clarification or flexibility in adjusting that? And that is specifically to ONC.
This is Sarah. That's a fine recommendation on changing the title.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Should we keep moving,
Brian? Let's go on to the next paragraph.
Okay.
That ASTP.
Okay.
So we're gonna
move you down to the sixth line there where it says 827 MBK's revised version for review. Oh, don't scroll down so far. Nope, go back up. Sorry.
A little bit more.
Perfect. Okay. And this was a group effort across group one. We recommend that the ability for a provider to respond to an immunization query be supported by G10 and G20 using a common FHIR-based approach rather than requiring implementation of an HL7 B2-based query. So again, this is from the perspective of the EHR. We are recommending that the rule does not require EHRs to implement HL7 version 2 based query, but rather that they focus in on FHIR-based query called out in G10 and G20, since this seems like a better longer term investment. And then there's some language that if the group accepts that, there's some language as well that can be deleted that addresses this need for EHRs to build in a V2 query that we recommend would be removed. And Hans, please jump in if you have more clarification there about why we're making this recommendation.
Happy to provide if there are any questions around that, but it's primarily that we want to make sure that we have as EHRs to implement V2 based queries, which is what QBP, et cetera, would do. That would require an infrastructure that is much more complex to maintain for many others to query. It's one thing to do it with 50, 60, whatever odd IESs. It's another thing to do it with thousands of EHRs. So using the Firebase queries for immunization data seems to be the better way, that if somebody needs to query the provider for that, use the G10, G20 criteria, use Fire to query, not a new V2-based query mechanism.
Right. We need to keep moving. So I think with that, if there's no discontent with that, let's turn that second half of that paragraph right after the blue review to the end quote respond green. Thank you. All right. Next, we recommend, not too far. I'm Mary Beth. This a separate
and this paragraph? Is, this is really just a language cleanup that the rule refers to both patient specific queries and immunization specific queries. And what the implementation guide refers to is patient specific queries that include the immunization record. So we're just cleaning up the language there.
All right, so let's turn both, can we do both lines? The next was the cleanup of the date, right? You found a date discrepancy there.
Yep, exactly.
I think it's just a typo.
Perfect, thank you. Okay, and the next very lengthy paragraph ties in with the conversation we had yesterday about the guidance around smart health cards and smart health links and smart health cards vaccination and testing implementation guides. So this is, I think we covered a lot of this conversation yesterday, and I think if I'm correct, this is the preferred language going forward. And Hans, I'm going to hand over to you because you made some additional changes in this language as well.
And Hans, is the paragraph that you started a replacement for all of the above or just additional text to add to what's above?
So you now, if you can highlight where you're exactly looking, because I'm with we jumping around, is that it's hard to keep track. So you're looking where it says.
I think we highlight the after the blue revision for review we support, but then you have a paragraph down below that says we support patients accessing. I think.
Yeah, and that might be
it's a replacement, so that's the one we should be highlighting.
Correct.
Okay,
just want to make sure that should be.
So if you could turn the red text after Hans, Mary Beth, and Steve's 829, we support patients. Turn that green, going all the way to the end of record. Oh dear. 829, yeah.
And it keeps on going for a couple more. If you go down.
Scroll a little bit. Yeah.
Scroll a little bit further. Just keep on going to. Yeah, if you go that.
Wait, so I think you turned too much green.
No, I don't think so.
It should just be after Hans MBK.
Sorry, it's difficult to see it in the that box at the top. Apologies that it's taking me a while.
Oh, okay. Now it looks okay.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, it's just I had a little bit of a lag. All right.
Is that, or I thought we were further down. I'm now confused. Okay. So it's now 827. There you go.
Keep oh, there. Going. Yeah, the eight. So wait. So the eight, it turned.
Sorry.
It reverted.
Yeah, okay.
So where it says Hans/MBK/Steve, right?
That's the start.
And you go through the red bullets that is as complete as possible. If that turns black, not yet green, then I think we have it, right? That's what we're looking at.
Oh, sorry. Keeps jumping up on me. Okay.
You can click in the box itself. If you double click right in the text in the box and then select it there.
Right. You want this text green now.
Yeah, but the first half of that paragraph shouldn't be green. So
okay, right
see
here.
Where the bold, this part. See the bold Hans? Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for your patience with this. It's difficult to do this in the Google Sheet.
There's a lot in this cell.
Okay.
Am I right? Am I right, Hans and Mary Beth, that what we just turned black is not that's redundant, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. I think we're ready to move on to the last two bits on this. We are way behind. Three bits. Do these need to be included as well? Oh, there's a Hans suggestion.
Yeah, so I think we can get rid of that middle section because we already agreed to it up above when we talked about focusing on G20 and G21.
And the date was already addressed.
Yep. And so the comment above that, the references to what functionality sunsets and what functionality persists for EHR Exchange, I think that is a comment we want to make sure that the wording is clarified to ensure that both submission and query persist as expectations beyond January 1st, 2027. And then the final, again, this is just a wording cleanup, recommending ASTP clarify whether query and request mean the same thing. And if so, select one of those terms and be consistent throughout the document. So those are just, again, clarifications.
So turn that last sentence green, turn the references green, but do we ignore the one in between?
You know, I think we can because we already made the recommendation up above green. So I think we're good with deleting that.
Okay, good. Okay, so we'll move ahead with everything that's green. No objections? Let's move on. Thank you. All right. Steve and Jillian. Oh, and Hans has some new edits here.
I think that's old language, actually.
So are we sticking just with the green then?
I believe so.
All right. I'll give people a second to read this.
Looks this like
syndromic surveillance.
I think the first sentence is incomplete. I'm not quite sure what happened to the language. And I don't remember what we had there. Steve, do you recall?
Other sched.
Schedules.
Yeah. Steve, can you unmute?
I'm zooming in.
Brian, if it helps, we save copies of these documents every day. If later on,
we can figure out what the last bit of that. I can't believe we turned something green that was truncated like that. And then just for clarity, Hans, I think one of the things that why I'd like us to stop referring to syndromic surveillance HL7V2 messages as ADT. They're ADT-like, but they're not ADTs because they include both ADTs and ORUs. And in the format. So I think it's could be misleading for implementers to think, oh, we just do it as an ADT, but it's not. It's a specific syndromic surveillance IG. Shall we move on? And if Sarah, if you and the team can figure out what the last conclusion of the first sentence is, that'd be awesome. Yep.
Yeah, the text. Okay. Just to clarify for the group, the rest of the text was kind of focused on looking at other scheduled reporting with the idea of making sure that the adoption date for a new standard was aligned with programmatic activities, so we were not changing standards in the middle of reporting windows and potentially disrupting data.
With the CDC week system. We're on to, correct. We're looking at the first of the year versus the 31st of December. Got it.
Right. Okay. And any other reporting that was similar in nature.
All right. And we get to some of that in the next bit. But all right. Let's move down to the next section. Electronic lab reporting. This is our bread and butter. This one should be easy, right?
We've and I updated Aaron's original language in red below.
All right, so we're, and is that a replacement or an additional sentence?
It's an additional sentence.
Okay, so it's turn after Aaron 826, recommend yes. To the end green. Thank you. All right. Cool. And has Aaron been able to join us? She's still late. Okay. All right. Next section. Hans and Steve. And we had a homework assignment for Jim Gerges. Dr. Gerges, were you able to confirm?
I think, did you guys receive by email the response to that one as well, or is that the one outstanding? I had sent to you, Brian, I think, follow-ups from our last call.
Yeah, there,
there were four, I think. And if we don't have that, let me,
Rachel or other ASTP staff?
Yeah, no, we didn't receive any feedback on cancer. We just received some feedback on AUAR.
All right.
And the other two that we discussed, I sent you. Let me look back and see if I got anything. We reached out, but let me see if I got anything from cancer back. If not, I will ping them again.
I may not have gotten those, Jim. I apologize. There are some issues with my email server. Something was administratively filtered. So what do Hans and Ike, what do we suggest doing here? Should we come back to it?
Let me see if I can find the email I sent you. So go ahead and continue, and then I'll...
Let's go on and come back to this. Okay, next. Great, Joel.
Yeah, I can jump in. So the first one...
Most of these are green already. Can you talk us through the last ones that we need to convert?
Yeah, first one, updated the RRIG language that was in the green section. So we updated the language in four, and Aaron, I know there's kind of an outstanding comment from you, so jump in if you have any considerations here. We're really just trying to clarify that the certification for this should be transition from the self-attestation to demonstration and show the capabilities for electronic case reporting around completeness and data quality thresholds. That first sentence is really the piece that was changed. Bajillion, I know you had some thoughts on this as well. Is everybody...
go ahead. Are you talking about number one?
Number four.
Sorry about number four. Okay. Number four. Number four. Yeah. So let's turn number four green. Erin's not on, Joel, just so you don't.
She's not on yet.
Yeah.
Jillian, do you have any residual?
I'm just trying to find my email.
I think Erin's comments were around a consensus-driven process, which maybe doesn't, and I guess I can let others chime in. Maybe the process doesn't need to be called out here. Kind of similar to what we talked about on Friday. You and I, Jillian.
Yeah.
Do we want to call?
I think we should not. I think we'll leave it out for right now.
Okay.
Great. So then let people can number five, we called out that there are more federal organizations that should be specifically listed or engaged with. And then let's go on to number six.
Number six. So the language is updated. I think everybody was comfortable with the language in the black last we talked, but we updated the language based on the group's recommendation to persist the choice of the FHIR, ECRIG, or CDA.
So are we keeping any of the red text?
I think we're keeping all the red was new. I think we were keeping all of the comment.
Okay, so we're tearing the whole thing.
Whole comment green. Whole
thing green.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Good. And you can delete the blue language, obviously.
Yeah, we'll come back and delete that later. But everything green, any objection to those moving forward? Great. All right, let's move on to NHSN. And I think we had some more Jim Gerges homework here. I'll check my inbox, Jim.
Yeah, hey, I put some of it in the chat here.
Oh, perfect.
Syndromic and cancer. I also had the, let's see, the NHSN one we did send you. I'm looking for it now. I think Abby Vile sent that to you, but let me find it.
Yes, Abby sent that.
I'm looking for it right now. I asked her to.
Yeah, I saw that. Abby
sent it. So, yeah.
Saw the Abby message. Okay. All right. So we've got the STU 1.0.1 for cancer. So should we scroll back up to the cancer one before we do the NHSN one? All right.
And Brian, I think there are effectively three recommendations there. And that Aaron's comment that there was still an open question there.
The FHIR adoption, the IG might be out, but the adoption may not, may be problematic. Okay.
Yeah, so the intent of the first one was to say is that do not require it, can still be used, but there's a lot of adoption going on CDA, and this would kind of, if we already shift over to FHIR only, that would take away some of the efforts there that probably are very valuable, but allow for FHIR. So it's an optional, it's not an instead of, to do a not require or not allow for FHIR. I think that the second one from Ike is to make some clarification because they are separate transactions. And the third is a name change. And then Aaron had a question and clarification that I'm not sure what the whether they were addressed in a reasonable way yet. So I think there are three recommendations in here. Ike, did I get that right from your perspective as well?
Yes, sir. Great job.
All right, so let's turn that first recommend. Ike, are your comments inclusive of each other? Do they all be turned green?
Yes.
Okay.
And then
delete the word Ike in front of each of them, unless Steve, you want to become part of the Federal Register.
No, thank you. Happy to contribute. Do not need to be recognized.
So we'll go in and delete the Ike colon from each of those. But I'm still a little bit confused on Aaron's reference here.
I think is that because the recommendations are focusing on the cancer registry and some of the wording there indicates to stay with CDA.
Yeah.
Pathology reporting is a separate one and only has a fire report. It might come across that we are suggesting not to do cancer pathology reporting, which is not what we said. We only focused the first three on the cancer registry reporting part. But we did not make a comment about cancer pathology report. So I think what she's trying to say here is that make a comment in the positive about cancer pathology, because we don't want to give the impression that we're suggesting that with the above, cancer pathology would disappear. That was not the intent.
Okay.
And that pathology needs to continue its proper format, and the data in CDA is not necessarily sufficient for cancer pathology report.
All right. And that is the change of the name sufficient to make that distinction?
Clarifying in the name and clarifying in language that there are two separate reporting activities, I think is the goal.
Yeah, so I don't see in your comment, Ike, changing the name to Cancer Register Reporting Transmission to Public Health Agencies. I don't see the insertion or inclusion of pathology report.
Right. The first comment looks at just creating the distinction between the two.
But do you suggest that we need to change the name? That be both? Registry reporting and pathology. Right, we're at time.
Ryan, maybe one suggestion is that we could suggest to separate the two criteria, one for cancer registry and the other one for cancer pathology. That helps to avoid any confusion between the two.
And commingling of the standards when they're not the same.
Correct. Then you still can say, hey, one is required, the other one's optional, whatever it is.
But the F, we're out of F numbers. What do we put it at? We'll let ONC figure that out, but we may want to say that it should be distinct and modular.
Right. All right, well, what would be FX1, FX2, right? Or F3A, F3B, or whatever it is.
Four, I think it's at four, but let's move on.
Yeah.
So let's leave Aaron's red, but I think so. The green can stand, and can we make a note to ONC staff that it the inclusion of both the pathology reporting as fire and the registry reporting as CDA in the same criteria can be a bit confusing for implementers, we're worried. They should probably be separated. All right, let's move on back to NHSN. I think we may have gone too far. There we go. Or is it right above?
Yeah.
Right there. Okay, that was it.
You got the, yeah, you got the ab email.
Okay, scroll down a little bit. Okay, so for this one, still not seeing that email, but
the one from Abby should have, you should have got
the log. You said you were okay.
R, so she's saying R4. Dash D3. Am I in the right one?
Here. What was the date time on that, Brian, so I can find it too?
It is August 29th. And it also went to Molly and Rachel. All right, so we need to just double check that we're...
I think that the issue is that R4 is not valid yet. So that's the issue.
Okay.
Wasn't our recommendation, didn't we talk, what, didn't we wonder if we could, even though it wasn't valid yet, didn't we wonder if we could make a statement about utilizing the most current version because it was expected to go through?
Good morning, everyone. I never introduced myself. Don't ask me why I don't, but this is Teresa Cabral, and welcome, everyone.
Hello. So we...
The problem is that we won't be aligned with international partners.
Yeah.
And that this is really critical.
All right, CDC does not gain anything by moving AU to R4D3 alignment with, do not need to be aligned. We are fine with remaining on R1 if they do not need to be aligned. All right. All right, well, I'm still a bit confused, but I'm happy to take suggestions from other committee members. Do we stick with this and let the federal agencies work it out when and how they can reference the newer versions?
I think if we can have the basic comment that says that there is alignment between what CDC is trying to do and ONC is putting in certification, that it's using the same process as what CMS and ONC have started to do, where the latest one in the rule is the latest one that is published and that is ASFAP is being used to get the latest one that actually is going to be required so that you can keep certification at the correct level. Getting into that mode would be very helpful and is very predictable. Right now on the NHSN side, with this, it's a little bit harder to maintain that awareness of where are we heading and what number is being used and how do we get there. So consistency and alignment, at least from our perspective, was the main objective. And then let the versions fall out where they fall out. And this could be a way to get there.
And this and your sentence as you have it indicates that. So we'll go with the, let's go with the green and move on and not make a specific reference to the. Okay. Next section. So this is another. So this is the National Healthcare Survey one. And again, let me check my emails from Jim. That's the same.
I mean, this is more of the same issue.
Yeah. We need to go back in time and have all of these IGs invested in earlier so they could be properly referenced and advanced.
What happened initially is that we had to certify to whatever is in the rule, but then we had to report according to whatever the requesting party wanted it to get, so that created some confusion. Marcia, again, if we can align and have a predictable cadence, that's the key, so that we don't need to certify again one thing and then we effectively have to report against something else. That's the underlying concern. However, that's being resolved.
Yeah, I'm not seeing an email on this one, Jim. Was it that things needed to stay silent? Wait, here we go. No, that's an HSN. Looks like most of the emails about are about the antibiotic resistance issue, not about this survey issue.
Jim had to leave for a call. Conflict.
Great. Did he put it in the chat?
No, he didn't, but we could follow up with him, Bryant.
All right. Yeah. I'm not seeing a resolution to that, but so what's for now, I think we can adopt just the green. We still need to wait to resolve the CDC program area reference, and they're unlikely to be able to get it released in time for this publication, it sounds like. All right, next section. This is the birth reporting Fire IG. This one is, I'll say, frankly, making me nervous in that I've not heard a large adoption of this or a large number of states that have piloted it successfully. But I don't think this is a voluntary advancement. So Hans and Ike, do you feel comfortable with moving this forward and seeing if it moves the needle?
I am.
All right. So do you suggest we turn that recommendation from red to green? So it's just more utilization occur before inclusion. Okay, so your text is suggesting that we don't include it for certification programs.
At this point in time, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, I think I'm okay with that. Any discussion amongst broader task force members?
This is Steve. I agree. This kind of goes to the heart of the ongoing kind of disconnect between USCDI and USCDI Plus.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we want to take advantage of the opportunity to make a comment in that space, because from my personal perspective, is there needs to be greater alignment and coordination and understanding about what USCDI Plus actually is with respect to certification criterion and what contents providers must actually retain and report.
All right. What about the last sentence there, or the G10, G20? I don't think we need to include in this.
Agreed.
What about that last red sentence?
It may need a little tweaking, but the intent there was that as we are including birth data specifically in USCDI and end up in G10 and G20, then at that point in time, certain HIT specialty EHRs included may not have the ability or do not need the ability to support that very specific birth data. So here it's trying to address that question that as we put things from the vital records birth and fetal death reporting implementation guide into USCDI, be very careful that that certain HIT cannot do it. So enable certification to what you manage, not that you have to build extra that you don't need.
It's that modular certification.
Effectively.
Yeah. Okay. So what with the typos, if you can change the DARA to data and LAVA to have.
And Hans, this is Steve. Wouldn't it be also a concern as we're looking at the G20 or other API criterion and a potential disconnect between USCDI and USCDI Plus, because you may or may not get a successful return in looking at an API request for data in USCDI Plus, not USCDI. So that's another relevant issue.
Possibly, depends on how they are being translated into implementation guides, because ultimately, from a certification perspective, we're really not looking at USCDI or USCDI Plus. We're looking at the implementation guide that's relevant for the use case at hand. So whether it's G10 general queries or whether it's a specific other thing. So we want to make sure that USCDI and USCDI Plus data is properly represented in those guides, and that that where HIT that is not managing certain data need not have to expand their capabilities for data that they otherwise don't need. So it need not yield that confusion. As long as
Hans, I want to cut this a little bit short. We need to move on. But is the red text modifying the G10, G20 discussion, not just the birth reporting?
It relates to both because so it's asking in this criteria the question about including it into USCDI. So that's why it was listed here. But it does apply to G10 and G20.
Okay, so you propose moving the red text to green and putting it after would have to support.
Yeah, and if I can work on a slight tweak just to make it clear to understand.
Okay.
We'll do that while we...
So we're turning it green. We'll let you tweak it offline while we move on to the next one. All right. F9. Narish, do you want to lead this one?
Sure. So this is with regards to the conversation we had on PDMP, specifically bidirectional query. I believe I've had discussions again with Kevin Botcher, PDMP team, and PMEX, the National Standard Exchange committees. So what I've put together is basically the recommendation here. If you could go to that, so if you could go towards the right on this little frame. Oh, yeah.
I hit a bunch of cells. Is there?
Oh, okay. No, I think this is fine. So I just added a different color here. So I just want to make sure if my comments are in here. So I added a recommendation as well. But should be in one of these cells.
It looks like you haven't hit save or.
No, it's Google Drive, but anyway.
Yeah. What column is it in? We may have hidden it.
Let me just check that. So it's should be column J11, I guess.
Okay, so it should be there. Maybe we need to make that
right there, the color one.
Cell larger. Can we stretch that down and see if it's below? Ah, the new red text.
Yeah, the red text right there.
Ooh. Apologies, my mouse did something. Hold on just a moment. Okay, here, right here. Okay, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And if we could just go with the red text specifically, the idea here is PMIC standard is widely adopted across 54.
Yeah, but it's not the it's not an open standard, and it's not a healthcare standard. It's a law enforcement standard.
Right. So if you see what I've actually added there is there needs to be a parser mediated through PMIX to fire. And that alone opens up the proprietary nature of that. There is always a challenge between ASAP, which is again proprietary versus the fire. That needs to be mapped up. The suggestion that I pretty much had from my side is that if the PDMP community needs to specifically open up from their side on the mapping between parser switches right now mediated through vendor switches, again, proprietary, there needs to be some sort of standard adoption on both the sides and definitely coming through AST. TP on that.
Any other discussions? I think it although there is an adoption of NCPDP 2017-071. I'm not seeing that supported here in your recommendation, Naresh.
I mean, it's if we specifically talk about PMIX interstate exchange, which is pretty much.
But I don't think this is the interstate exchange. So, yes, I agree with you, PMIX for interstate exchange, but this is the certification criteria for the EHR interacting with the state registry.
Understood. I think we can definitely incorporate the NCPDP as appropriate in here.
Okay. Looks like my edits may have disappeared. I put the 2017-071 and the new 2022 standard after NCPDB script in Aaron's line.
I've not seen that. Did you add it today, Brian?
Yeah, I added it today and looks like it got written over.
Oh, possibly.
And has Aaron joined us yet? Still no. Why don't we table this one for now and come back to it at the end if Aaron is able to join or pick it up first thing tomorrow. And Naresh, maybe you and I can have some discussions on trying, because I think this is similar to cancer where it's trying to do both the registry reporting and the pathology reporting. This may be looking at, you know, multi-state query as well as reporting prescription, reporting into the registry, which are different things.
Yeah, predominantly it's controlled substance only, right? And there are some states like Nebraska where you would have all prescriptions, in which case you would have facilitation for something like a patient portal, provider portal, needs that are beyond. And right now, the exchange model is all along the lines of images, HTML on discrete. So that alone is probably not sufficient to the...
No, that's probably not something that ONC is going to want to push. But NCPDP, and specifically, there's a new e-prescribing NCPDP on Fire IG that should be totally open and hopefully something we can move to. But let's table this and come back to it. Unless any of the task force members wants to make a recommendation that we stay silent on it completely, we could try to do another day's worth of quick work. Let's scroll down to F10.
This is sad. That's sort of flag. We're at public comment time. So suggest we move to that. If we do have, I'm not sure how much time we've got scheduled for the next item, but if we have time, we can go back to the Google Doc. All right. So we are going to open up for public comment at this time. So if you are on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located in the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. And if you are participating by phone only today, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And as we give folks an opportunity to raise their hands, just a reminder that our last HTI2 proposed rule task force meeting is scheduled for tomorrow. So Thursday, September 5th from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. And a reminder also that all high tech meeting materials can be found on healthit.gov. Not seeing any folks on the line and not seeing any hands raised in the Zoom. So I will turn it back, Brian, to you to see if we have a time to get maybe through one more item and then we'll move to next steps and adjourn.
All right. Back to the Google Sheet, please. All right. So this is, and Aaron's not on still, but Hans, do you want to talk to us about LOR, LRI?
Yeah, I'm trying to see how to best summarize it. But the basic intent behind this is to that within the CPOE, orders for lab are communicated to different labs. And depending on what the lab is, there is more or less public health specific data that is needed to enable the lab to report on it if they have a reporting requirement. And therefore requiring all LOI for all communications seems to be more than is needed, because not all need to, but particularly that what's addressed in LOI guide, some of that extra public health data. Plus that there is a wide set of implementations that uses V231, 231, 23, 24, 25, making this kind of a big shift would be challenging if everything has to be changed accordingly. So supporting all of LOI might end up famous with LRI that we are implementing much. So the intent here is to tailor and use components of LOI and of LRI as well. And that's the essence of what this is trying to do. Okay. Components so you can plug it into existing V2 messages not that you have to go wholesale to LOI or LOI.
I thought in recent years there's been a successful push to 2.51, and we're less and less 2.3.
Oh no, there's still a lot out there.
Okay.
So effectively,
scroll down a little bit to the results section of this.
Can I ask a question on that? It seems like that first bullet, this is laboratories external to the healthcare provider organization, e.g. commercial laboratories or public health laboratories. Is that supposed to be the header for the following two statements?
Scroll back up a little bit.
It's like the second, there's a little bullet under orders. For our orders, yeah.
I think these are, the orders are different for internal labs in a hospital versus external labs, you know, national reference labs versus public health labs.
But I'm not sure why, what that line is stating, laboratories external to the healthcare providers organization.
So if you have a clinic, they don't have their own lab, that's the labs are external to them.
Yes, no, I understand that.
It's all going back to the recommend that address different contexts for each of the following situations.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the double dashes. And given the direction of where ETOR is going, that's where full LOI and LRI are in play. So yep. That's
been I got it. I just was confused by okay, I understand. Thank you.
Yeah, for the format of the transmittal, it'll probably have to be, you know, full sentence of each of these, because it'll be too hard to reference back to the lead-in paragraph, colon. So Hans, we have 5 minutes left. Do you think we can turn this green?
I do, but
any other committee members have concerns?
No concerns. Good with green.
Jillian, if we could figure out a way to make it clear what the dashes versus the double dashes are, would you be comfortable with that?
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, unfortunately, the double bullets or bulleting doesn't work inside spreadsheets. So.
Yeah.
Is there a colon or is there a colon after needs to have?
Yeah, there's a needs to have.
So maybe we just colon. Number them or something like one,
that's
two.
That's a good three. Idea.
Yeah.
We'll go through and number them. And Hans, are the single dashes numbers and the double dashes are sub letters within that number?
Yeah, but if you want to and you're not seeing it, I can just do that right now and get the right number.
So 1, 2, and then 2A, 2B, 2C.
Yeah, so I'll change it right now and then.
Although orders between two labs seems like it could be a 3.
Possibly, but we could do that and split that out. But they are external. So I could have it inside a hospital to my hospital lab, and then in turn that lab is going to go to an external lab. But have a look at it.
The lab to lab may not be using an EHR. That may be, you know, two LIM systems that are be certified. All right. Anyway, but I'll leave it to you. Yeah, that looks much better. Jillian, you okay with that?
Yep.
And I'm sad that we're referencing 2-3-1 in a proposed rule in 2024, but
let's try to
we need to have an association like immunization registry that pushed for advancing an adoption of new standards consistently across the ELR community. That'll be our goal for this year. All right, so let's turn all of this red text green and wrap it up for today. I think there was one comment from Aaron at the bottom that wouldn't be green. Is that right? If you scroll down. Aaron's not on to defend this, so should we?
I think this was she was proposing. It looks like she was proposing adding this.
Or is that a replacement for the language up above?
Yeah.
It was the 2-3-1.
And it was this issue around the specimen stuff that was particularly important, it looks like, that she wanted in there, which I don't have a problem with.
Let's turn it green then, after the Aaron 826. And then we'll end up, if you guys can move that as a number 4 under 4 orders.
I think it's a more general statement around public health.
Is it a replacing, it might actually be a replacement text for the 2.2.
That's how I read it.
Okay, yeah. So we can swap that in as a replacement for 2.2.
We're gonna have to wrap up, right?
Okay.
We'll
call it.
Is there agreement on that last point?
I concur.
Hans?
Yes.
Okay, so that last bit that we did from Aaron is a replacement for 2.2. Thank you.
For next steps, we're going to have our final meeting, as I mentioned, tomorrow. So where we land with approved recommendations from the task force at the conclusion of the meeting tomorrow will be what the co-chairs will present for consideration at the full high-tech meeting on September 12th. So look forward to everyone's participation tomorrow, and we will adjourn for today. Thanks, everyone.